Welcome, everyone, to the SI Media Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Traina. Thanks for downloading, streaming, listening, whatever you're doing right now. This week's episode will be a little sports media slash NFL chat with my good friend Peter Schrager of the NFL Network and Fox Sports. We talked about Peter's crazy schedule doing Good Morning Football, and then he flies out from New York to L.A. to do Fox on Sundays. And we get a little taste of what his job is like. Went around the NFL a little bit. We talk about the Rams-Chiefs game in a couple of weeks. Cowboys with Jason Garrett, what they're going to do. Browns coaching search. What else? We reminisce about Dr. Z, the legendary Dr. Z, who I was fortunate enough to work with closely here. Talked about Jason Witten a little bit. And we got into a bunch of other topics. So it's good conversation, light and fun with Peter Schrager. Appreciate all the feedback I got last week on the episode with Tony Reale, which was not light. Was fun, but not light. We did a lot of heavy stuff in that hour and a half conversation. If you haven't checked it out, please go into the archives and give it a listen. It was Tony was brutally honest, extremely generous with his time, and opening up about anxiety, depression, postpartum depression, and going through some grief there. Like I said, feedback was tremendous, so I appreciate everyone listening and weighing in on that. So Tony Reale, check that out in the archives. Next week, we'll have Ian Eagle from CBS Sports. And like I said, today, let's get a kick in right now with Peter Schrager from the NFL Network and Fox Sports. All right, joining me now, friend of the show. He's been on a few times, a regular. I love him. Good Morning Football's Peter Schrager. Peter, how are you?
Jimmy, I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Love having you on. The show, Good Morning Football, I know you guys were in London there. How are you holding up? Are you exhausted? Are you fully recovered? That was a big week there for you guys.
It was awesome. We came in on a Wednesday, and Burleson, Kyle, Brent, and I were there for 3 days, and Kay joined us after she had some work to do on the weekend. She joined us the following Monday. But for the first 4 days, Nate, Kyle, and I just had a camera crew, and basically the direction was go and get in some trouble in London. Go have fun. And we ran around. We did ridiculous things, and there was a lot of obviously good jokes and all that, and then the stuff that made the air worked, but the stuff that didn't make the air was probably much better. And then we did 5 days of shows, and then after all that, I was on sidelines for the first ever NFL Network 4-man broadcast booth, the whole thing, and it was awesome for Jaguars, Eagles. So all together, like a really cool experience. It was a long time away, but no complaints here. It was awesome, man.
I have to say, and I don't want your opinion on it because you're not objective, but that 4-man booth actually worked. I thought.
Let's talk about it, because I thought there was no like postscript on it. I thought the fury from fans beforehand and the sports media, like guys all wringing their hands over it, I thought it was excellent. And I guess you could say I am a little biased because I was a part of the crew, but I'm not even talking about me. I'm talking about the booth itself. Right. And I am on a broadcast crew typically on the sidelines. I've watched every broadcast. I would put those four guys, and it was Eisen, Warner, Irvin, and Mariucci. Like, I put them right in the mix. And I got to tell you, it was an enjoyable watch and listen when I watched it back, and obviously I love being a part of it.
You wouldn't rip them if they were bad, so that's why I say you're not objective. But what I would say about it is, I thought the three analysts, Kurt Warner, Michael Irvin, Steve Mariucci, did a good job of not overspeaking. They really laid low a lot. They came in when they had to. And I thought Kurt Warner was excellent. And my thought process watching that game was, that's the guy ESPN should have hired for Monday night.
It's funny, right? So I have a couple thoughts on it. The producer's a guy named Mark Teitelman. And we had a meeting Saturday night. And Melissa Stark and I were on the sidelines. And it was those guys and some of the NFL Network executives were in the room, and Teitelman ran the meeting so well, it felt like we were about to run out and like come out of the tunnel and go play a game ourselves. Because he was basically like, this is the only time that all NFL Network talent's going to be on this. We have 4-man booth. They say we can't get it done. And you guys worked with each other since 2003 or whenever they were all together for the NFL Network. He's like, you guys know each other better than any of these booths. And I thought they were great. They didn't step on each other's toes. And for what it's worth, I would listen to that again. And, you know, preseason, Burleson and I did games with Andrew Siciliano for the Rams, and we, in a much smaller scale, heard the same stuff. Like, I don't want to hear these two. They talk on Good Morning Football all day. You don't need both of them in there. But if you know the person and you know the beats and you know where they're going to go, like, it actually leads to a better conversation than two strangers. Here's ex-coach X and some random play-by-play guy. Why? It doesn't necessarily work as well as guys who know each other.
Right. I totally agree. Now, and tell me, I've been deathly ill for like 3 days, so you're going to hear all these sounds coming in the microphone.
Good. I love sounds from you. Good.
What, and I know NFL Network announced on Tuesday the broadcast teams for some games they have late in the season. I think it's week 15 and 16. Menifee, I know, is doing. But you're part of a crew. What's your crew for those games?
It's cool. I'm actually, like, fired up for both crews. But for mine, it's Mike Tirico on play-by-play, Kurt Warner, the aforementioned, on color, and then me on the sidelines.
Okay, I didn't know if you were doing sidelines or in the booth for that. Okay, so you're doing sidelines.
Yeah. I'm on the sidelines, and the games are good. Like, we have a primetime game on Saturday night with Baker Mayfield involved, so I'm happy for that. I haven't seen him play up close, but it's week 15, Denver, who's in the middle of a skid, and Cleveland, who knows what they're going to be. And the following week is Ravens-Chargers in L.A., and the Chargers have won 5 straight games. They're 6-2, right. And I think come week 16, they're going to be fighting for a division title with the Chiefs. The other crew is cool, too. Menifee from Fox is doing play-by-play, and it's going to be with Mariucci and Burleson, both in the booth, and Melissa Stark on the sideline.
Right.
So, I mean, it's interesting, and they're only on NFL Network. So it's like you got kind of Tirico from NBC, and then you got me from Fox. You got Burleson from CBS. Like, it's kind of cool.
I'm glad to see the NFL Network using you and Burleson and realizing you guys were stars, which, of course, as I always have to remind you, I was the first one to give Good Morning Football the praise.
You're an early adopter. And we really, honestly, it helped us a lot when guys like you and Dan Wetzel and Bill Simmons were talking about our show early, because I don't think I think most people just turn on and go to ESPN to listen to their sports talk, and I think you guys help provide an option that, hey, there's an alternative. And we're in our third year, and we all still are having a blast doing the show, and it's only getting bigger. So it's cool that you were on early.
Tell me about your personal schedule these days, because I know you do. So you're doing more of the Fox pregame show than sidelines for Fox this season, correct?
All right. So I've done 3 sideline games. When those days, I leave New York on a Thursday, get to the facility. So say I did Chiefs Niners earlier this year. I would fly out of New York, get to Kansas City Thursday night, do the show Good Morning Football from a little room in the Chiefs facility on Friday morning, go to Chiefs practice on a Friday afternoon, have a meeting with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes after that, and then we would go for like dinner with the crew I'm working on. Obviously Saturday we meet with the opposing team. Sunday do the game, hop on a plane, get back to New York, and then do the show Monday to Thursday. But
now, how hard is that? How hard is that when you fly in on a Sunday?
How hard is that?
Well, no, I'm saying if you're flying in on a Sunday night after a game and you have to be on air at 7 a.m., is that rough, or you do it and it's not even something you think about?
It's just I'm conditioned, and I'm not, you know, again, I don't want to play like I'm a hero or that I'm minimizing it, but it is what it is. Like, if someone else was doing either of those jobs, I would be, you know, jealous as hell, because that's what I mean, I'm doing exactly what I want. So
yeah, I get that. I'm not saying to whine and complain. You have a great job.
I know, but
I'm saying on that Monday morning, when the alarm goes off, you're like, motherfucker, I can't believe I got to wake up right now.
Yeah. No, I didn't like that, because you know what's cool? Like, I'm the first one to talk about the games, and I'm selfish. I want my opinions heard. So if it was maybe a different hour, a different show, but like I'm on emotion, I'm on like this adrenaline. So if I land at 11:30 at night and I go to sleep for a little bit and I bang out 3 hours, I'm the first one talking about, okay, the Sunday night game, like, you know, Rodgers and Brady. I could be the first person anyone sees on air, wakes up to, who gives their impression. That's a cool deal. So I like doing it.
Do you?
The other days,
wait.
Go on.
You crash Monday afternoons after? Like, at some point,
yeah,
you got to crash.
No, like, I crash hard, and now we're in week 10.
Okay.
And I was texting with someone else who does similar amount of travel with all the games and back and forth on the coast, and said to him, like, we just got to get through it. It's, you know, the light's at the end of the tunnel. That's how it feels. And then you kind of hit your second wind around week 14, 15, 16. All right, playoff picture's crystallizing. This is the stretch run. And then obviously the playoffs and Super Bowl are just a complete adrenaline rush. But, yeah, this is the brutal time. And, again, I say that with fully understanding someone sitting at their desk right now doing a spreadsheet. Like, I get it. I'm just saying it's the brutal travel time when there's delays in the airport and you're at the Hudson News, you know, flipping through the same magazine for the third straight week.
Yeah, you're not complaining. I'm asking you the questions. No one's going to hold it against you. It's okay. Now, tell me
the
about
other
what,
days, though,
when you do the studio.
I'm flying to L.A., yeah. like you said, and I'm doing the NFL kickoff show, which is on 11 a.m. Eastern for Fox. So those ones, it's just I fly in on a Saturday morning, you know, 6 hours to L.A., do that show on Sunday, and then fly back and get back Sunday night. So that's a lot of flying for only an hour-long show, but the show is really fun, and Carissa's awesome, and we're having a good time doing that show, and I think we're beating a lot of competitors in that window. So I'm enjoying the best of both worlds. I love the sidelines, and I'm also enjoying the pregame show.
Which do you like better?
I don't know. Like, for that hour when I'm on air in the pregame show, like, I love it, but it's kind of like, all right, then it's over. And then I'm hopping on a plane. The game, like, I come out of those games, I feel like I almost played in the game because I'm on the field, I'm in the action, I spoke with the winning quarterback, I spoke with the best defensive player, and I can kind of get a real feel for what the team's mojo is coming into the week. The studio, I'm a little bit more distant, I'm relying on my phone a lot. I like the fact that Fox gives me the freedom and the ability to do a little bit of both, which is perfect right now.
So are you in the air flying while the games are going on when you do this studio show?
Yeah, the late games, yeah. So let me give you my secret. I got the NFL Game Pass. It's not a commercial for the NFL Game Pass. I don't know if anyone knows what it is, but it's on NFL.com. It's on the app. And you can watch the games, any game, on your phone, right? And then once you get in the air, the go-go Wi-Fi is usually, you know, whatever the Wi-Fi is for Delta, I can't get video quality, so this is so old school, but you would love this because you probably grew up listening to Dave Jennings and Bob Papa do Giants and Ian Eagle and Greg Buttle do Jets or whoever it was. They have all the audio radio broadcasts that you can hear them 30,000 feet in the air. So I listened to Saints-Rams the entire game, Saints-Rams
right.
on the radio with J.B. Long and Maurice Jones-Drew calling the game from the Rams radio. Like,
wow.
It's a throwback. But you actually get to hear the entire game and kind of have a feel for it as opposed to a red zone when you're jumping all around like a complete maniac, not knowing the story of the game.
Well, I never watch red zone. I am a game mix guy. I've never watched.
Okay, so what's game mix? That's where you have all the games on at once?
Well, there's actually two game mix channels now. About 3 years ago, they gave you. Now there's two. There's 701 on DirecTV is four games, and 702 has all the games. So I watch.
You get to pick your games on 701?
No, they haven't gotten that. You can pick. You can change the audio. You can flip the audio, but you can't maneuver the games.
Can I tell you something funny? You'll appreciate. So,
yeah.
I just told you that I'm gone every Sunday, and I've been doing this for like 5, 6, 7 years, and I guess I must have been watching like and before the TV stuff, I would always be at games. I would always be watching a game, writing about a game in the locker room, writing an article for FoxSports.com. So. I guess the first Sunday we were in London, the NFL Network bosses were like, hey, like guys, in room whatever, we're going to have the red zone on. If you guys want to come in and just watch the game, you know, during the day, like you're welcome to. It was the first time I sat and watched red zone on a Sunday. And I was immediately addicted. And I thought this can't be healthy for any marriage or family anywhere. Like it was insane because at about 3:30 Eastern, the fourth quarter start. And they're all insane. And then immediately after, you're already in like late first quarter of the second window. I'm
yeah.
like, this is not healthy for American marriages. It's not.
I see, everyone lives and dies by that red zone, and I've never watched it. I go game mix. I like to watch all the games. But
do you ever pick a game, because you're a sports media critic, do you ever pick a game, or reporter, whatever you want to call it,
yeah.
do you ever pick a game based on the broadcast crew?
Well, last year I did a lot with Romo. Because I, you know, it was his first year, and I wanted to hear him out. This year, there's really not many new people doing games this year. On a Sunday, obviously the Monday night crew is different, but on a Sunday afternoon, I mean, it's basically the same as last year. Bruce Arians is new for CBS. Let's see. I mean, Fox has still got the same, you know, Buck and Aikman and Burkhardt and Charles Davis. So there's not a bunch different this year. So I usually stick with, you know, the best games and
it's
the games that I'm interested
in. For the last 3 years, I've been on a crew with Tom Brenneman. And at first it was me, Tom Brenneman, and Charles Davis.
Right.
Then it was me, Tom Brenneman, Charles Davis, and Chris Steelman. And then last year it was me, Chris Spielman, Tom Brennerman. And, like, I've got such a feel for how that game's going to go as far as a broadcast goes. So it's interesting that, like, when I was doing that Red Zone, I'm like, wait, I need to watch that crew. And they were doing Jets-Vikings. And I'm like, can we get that game on? And everyone's like, why do you care about Jets-Vikings? I'm like, no, I like to get Spielman's perspective on it. And it's just like, to me, as, like, someone who's a part of a crew, like, it does matter so much when you work on that. But it's amazing that some fans, I mean, I was listening, and I'm not insulting Andrew Marchand is great at what he does, but you're talking about different broadcasters. You're like, well, who's good? He's like, I don't know. And I, to think that people watch these games and, like, it's life and death for us in the booth and on the sidelines. So, like, how'd our crew do? Does everyone like our crew? Are we doing great? Are we bringing something new? And then for a lot of fans, it's just you could put up bars and they don't care. Like, you can have three guys talking. As long as it's football, they're going
to
watch it.
In fairness to Andrew, he's got his hands full with Mike Francesa, so he can't.
He does.
Break down
he
every,
does. A yeah. lot of Francesa. Yeah. Went down to the studio.
Do you have the app?
You know what's funny? I don't have the app, and I'm embarrassed to say that because I am a regular Francesa listener and guest. I don't have the app, but I did encourage my friends to get the app, and not that that means anything. I just haven't bought it yet. But my buddies do listen to it and do have it, and I'm like, you guys need to be vocal if you're Francesa diehards, because there is a war right now and they need to hear from you, the actual consumer. You guys need to be out there on the front lines. But I don't know what the sales are. I don't know how you can even count those metrics. And then, you know, Jimmy, between us, you do a podcast. Maybe we know the podcast numbers. You know, like, I don't know how accurate these numbers are for other places, you know, so who knows?
No. Yeah, I don't care. I'm just wondering if you – I just think you can't compare a podcast – to the app, because this podcast is free. He's charging people $8.99. It's a little bit of a difference.
This is very true.
A little bit of a difference. Funny, too, about you mentioned about people with watching the announcers. Did you see the clip of Mike where he was ripping Matt Vasgersian, even though it was Tom Brenneman who was doing the game?
I heard it live.
Yeah.
I heard it live.
All right. Just making sure. All right. Let me ask you some NFL questions.
Yeah,
we're in a good part of the season here. We have 2 weeks to go. We have to get through the pig of a game on Monday with the Niners and Giants. And then after that, it's Rams-Chiefs. Who's winning that game?
That's so good. Do you remember when we came into your studio in August, you asked me, what's the one thing you're excited for? And I gave you a weird answer. Do you remember what my answer was?
I don't remember.
I said, I think Mahomes is, like, kind of interesting.
Oh,
I think
God.
Whatever Mahomes – and now, I feel like we're almost spoiled by Mahomes. He had 375 yards and 3 touchdowns on the road last week, and it didn't make any of the shows, make any of the highlights. Like, no one seemed to care. He's on pace to break every single quarterback record that there is, both for a young quarterback and any quarterback in a season. So you asked me Rams Chiefs. I think the Rams showed a little blood on Sunday, but I think they find their way, because that Chiefs defense, I need to see them stop someone. They haven't yet.
Right.
I think the Rams beat them in Mexico City, yeah.
This episode of the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast is sponsored by Mac Weldon. Mac Weldon's mission is very simple. They want to make sure all your basics and beyond are smartly designed, and shopping for them is easy and convenient. Mack Weldon was founded because they wanted more out of their basics and always questioned how something so essential could be such a pain in the ass to buy. The frustration was real, and their eureka moment happened in a department store aisle full of brands that dominated their top drawer. Surrounded by a mind-numbing assortment of underwear and socks, they realized consistent fit and quality became a game of roulette, so Mack Weldon decided to take matters into their own hands. Mack Weldon started from scratch and engineered their own fabric. They made sure the design process was meticulous, so you can count on the fit being the same each and every time. They built a world-class customer experience. The difference is in the detail, so they obsessed over every stitch and seam until they reached the definition of perfect. Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now. They believe in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. Website can't be easier to use. Very simple, very clean, very fast. Mack Weldon has the most comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants that you will ever wear. They want you to be comfortable. So if you don't like your first pair, you can keep it, and they will still refund you. No questions asked. Not only does Mack Weldon's underwear, socks, and shirts look good, they perform well, too. Their clothes are perfect for going out, working out, going on dates, just everyday life. They have something for everything at Mack Weldon. I have a hoodie from Mack Weldon. It's so comfortable, light, and again, like I said, the website can't be easier to use. Shopping could not be more convenient, and the clothes fit perfectly and could not be more comfortable. Good offer now for the SI Media Podcast listeners out there. 20% off your first order from Mack Weldon. All you have to do is visit MackWeldon.com and enter the promo code MEDIA at checkout. Once again, SI Media Podcast listeners get 20% off their first Mack Weldon order. All you have to do is go to MackWeldon.com and enter the promo code MEDIA at checkout. That's MackWeldon.com and then promo code MEDIA at checkout, MackWeldon.com, MEDIA at checkout for your 20% off promo code.
What are the Browns going to do for head coach? Because I feel very, very bad for Baker Mayfield. They got to get that organization stabilized. They have the quarterback.
I don't know if you should feel bad. I feel like this was a major, major move. Like,
oh yeah, no,
the crazy
no.
thing about Mayfield. Here's why I don't feel bad. Yeah. The crazy thing about Mayfield is that he had his best game of the season when he had not taken one rep with the first teams and had not been coached to start. So what does that tell you? That he was regressing since. To me, whatever was going on there, there were too many voices in his head. Toxic could be a word you might want to say, but Haley and Jackson are gone, and now it's like this open book. The question is, do they go with a trusted quarterback, longtime guy, like a Bruce Arians, whose name was mentioned this week, and people rolled their eyes, but like Arians is still a damn good coach, and it's not a bad option.
That's a good one.
Or do they just follow the model that I think a lot of teams, and remember me saying this in November, because I talked to a lot of these different presidents of teams and a lot of people around the league, McVay and Nagy and Shanahan, and I know Kyle doesn't have the wins, but their offense is innovative. The fact that these guys are having such success at a young age, it's a copycat league. You are going to see some 27, 28, 29-year-old quarterback coach who has no business being a head coach getting hired by one of these teams because they think that's what sells tickets, that's what's new, that's what's young, and they'll be able to do some fun offense with us. So you asked me about Mayfield. I wouldn't be shocked if they threw the kitchen sink at that Lincoln Riley, his college coach, who's 33 years old.
I hate that.
Out of Oklahoma.
You hate that? Well, I hate it for a couple of reasons. One, I mean, the track record of college coaches coming to the NFL and having success, having legitimate success, is not great.
No, you're right.
It's not great. And I think while Lincoln Riley might be this great offensive mind who can do wonders for Baker Mayfield, he's coaching in a conference that it's not a – they don't play real football in that conference. It's not a real – conference. It's not, they don't play any defense. Every game is in the 50s. And then you get to the NFL and it's a whole different world that they're not used to because they don't care about defense in the Big 12. So that's a higher.
Here's something that, I know.
I love the Arians. Really well. I do love the Arians.
Let me give you the alternative on this with this before we go to Arians. Let me give you the alternative on this. The Rams interviewed Doug Marrone, they interviewed Anthony Lynn, they interviewed there was someone else who was a very qualified, very good head coach last year, whoever it is. And they interviewed Sean McVay. And Sean McVay was 31 years old. And they said, we can pass on him because he's too young, or he can get hired somewhere else. And for the next 10 years, we regret on maybe hiring him a year early. Now, it just so happens McVay hit a home run out of the park and was the coach of the year and all that. That's great. But even if they went like 6-10 last year or 7-9, they at least would have had him. Like, if Lincoln Riley is the guy, I would really hope that the fact he went from college or the fact that he's young is not the reason that they would resist hiring him, because someone else will hire him and that other person will have success if he's a good coach.
I'm like, not opposed.
That's how you got to look at it.
I'm not opposed to young. I'm opposed to Big 12. No clue about defense.
But you can only drive the car that you're giving keys to. Like, that's what that conference is. If he was coaching in the AFC South as like a defensive coordinator, like, does that make you more comfortable? I don't know. Like, if he's a great offensive mind and he's done it with Mayfield before and he could pick up the language right away, like, isn't that a leg up than hiring some other guy who Mayfield's never met hasn't had any success as a head coach?
I just think there's an enormous difference between Mayfield and Riley having success in the Big 12 and then having success in the NFL.
Fair. You know, I always go back to, like, because I hear it a lot with Chip Kelly and with whoever else. I mean, the list goes on of college coaches who flop in the pros. But, like, Jimmy Johnson, it worked, right? Like, came in from Miami. It worked. Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl with the Cowboys the second year out of Oklahoma. So, yeah. I don't know. We'll see. The other thing with that team is Josh McDaniels. I know a lot of people were spurned by him last year. They feel like he doesn't deserve another shot. Well, the NFL is a funny thing. Matt Patricia wears a T-shirt with Goodell's nose as a clown from Barstool, and everyone says, well, he'll never get a job, and then there's teams lining up to hire him. Like, people have already forgotten about the Colts thing. If the Browns come strong after McDaniels and he likes Mayfield and he likes the fact that he's from Ohio and all the connections there that he has, his dad's a high school legendary coach in Ohio, like, McDaniels and the Browns is not the worst idea either.
Right. The Matt Patricia, I lost all respect for Matt Patricia with his, you know, yelling at the reporter to sit up straight. When, like you just said, the guy's wearing a Goodell clown shirt.
Trying to put myself in, like, we have our show, Good Morning Football, and we obviously, like, you know, it's a three-hour show. So when you get a soundbite like that, you're like, all right, let's dig in. And I had a really hard time taking any solo or, like, trying to defend his take on that. And right. It's funny because I can always – you give me any topic, I'll take both sides, and that's just what TV is. Like, I can at least see one side. But for, you know, the guy's a working journalist. Like, I wouldn't talk down to him like your dad. I just don't like that.
First of all, and if you're so offended by that, which I have a hard time believing that this guy who – looks like a slob for the most part on the sidelines during
respect
every game.
The process was what he said.
Yeah,
respect,
like, if that bothers you so much, then when the press conference is over, pull the guy aside and say, hey, listen, next time we have a press conference, like, just clean it up a little bit. But,
yeah, and
know,
it's like,
you got to do it there in front of everyone.
It was bad. Yeah, or pull him aside and be like, dude, like, you know, don't slouch. I don't even know if he did that. If someone pulled me aside and said that, I'd say, I think I have to go F yourself. Like, I don't know what I would say because he doesn't employ me. And I always hate it when people call the owners Mister and, like, kiss their butt. Like, a head coach, I don't know, and the guy's probably older than Patricia. I don't know, all things weird. But I got to know Matt Patricia a little bit, and I was surprised that was from him because he's not like that. Right. And maybe he is in that setting, but, like, personally, he doesn't seem like – he seems like a great dude and respectful of everyone. So,
well,
that was so odd.
Well, karma got him because then the Seahawks kicked the Lions' ass the next week. What is
that happened?
Yeah.
Karma got him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, is Jason Garrett ever going to get fired?
Jason Garrett and Ruth Bader Ginsburg have those lifetime appointments.
Yes,
no, I don't know, man. Like, Wade Phillips went 1-7, I think, and they fired him in November in 2010. Does it have to be that bad for Garrett to get fired? Like, I don't know. Here's what my thing with the Cowboys is. They're going to be on primetime a bunch more than the rest of the season goes, and it's not a fun brand of football. So, like, Jerry is so – obviously, he's invested in the team winning. That's when Jerry's at his happiest. But he also likes the fact that people are talking about the Cowboys at all times, and there's a buzz around them, and they're exciting. They're the least entertaining team to watch on television.
Yeah,
they are so boring.
Yeah.
And I think Fox and NBC and NFL Network – it's still going to get the ratings because they just bring in the audience. But wouldn't it be fun if they were, like, a fun team? Or if they were losing, if they were one of these teams that puts up 40 points and loses because they are just, you know, spectacular, but they just can't get the job done. Like, they're just boring. They're slow. They're not fun. And the roster on paper looks good. So I don't know whose fault it could be besides Jason Garrett.
It's amazing he's still there. Amazing. I want to go in a different direction for one sec. Did you ever have any dealings? Did you know it all, Dr. Z?
Funny you say that. I did. And the reason I said it's funny is because they asked me if I wanted to share any thoughts on Good Morning Football the morning after he passed. And I said, I don't feel comfortable because guys like Mike Silver and Jim Trotter probably know him a lot better at NFL Network. It wouldn't be right for me. But here's my limited dealings, and I think you'll love this story because I assume you were his editor at some point. Or you
weren't? I was his online.com editor for about, I don't know, three or four years.
Okay, so I wrote an article for FoxSports.com when I was probably 25 years old in, like, the mid-2000s, and I said, the NFL quarterback position is as good now as it has ever been before. And I went through the different eras and said, you know, this year, in 2005, whatever it was, Drew Brees is doing this with the Saints, and then in Indianapolis, you've got Peyton Manning, and you still have Tom Brady, who's got three rings. I'm like, I wrote this article. Whether it was good or not, I don't even remember if I was proud of it. But I get an email from Dr. Z probably 2 days later with an attached spreadsheet going through the quarterbacks of the 1981 season. And I'm talking like Fouts and you know, Fouts and Vince Ferragamo. And he did team by team. He broke it down. Every quarterback from that 2005 season and the team's quarterback from the 1981 season.
Oh my God.
And I think it was, like, in his eyes, 25 of the 32 quarterbacks were better, or 25 of the 28, how many teams there were better in 1981. And this article is a sham and it's a mess. And I wrote back, I'm like, I'm so honored that you even took the time to read this. I believe this was pre-stroke, obviously. Like, he was still, like, had his fastball and all that.
Right.
And I wrote him back this, like, lovely email of, like, I grew up reading you all stuff. And he said, like, be better. Like, it was very critical. And then right. at the end, he was like, if you ever need anything, let me know. Here's my number. And then I introduced myself at the draft the following year, and he could not have been – I know he's not known for being warm and sweet, but he could right. not have been cooler.
Right.
And to me, like, Jimmy, like, a lot of kids grew up wanting to be Phil Simms or Kenny O'Brien. Like, to me, it's the Dr. Z. Like, that's what I wanted to do for a living. So it was so cool.
What intrigues me the most about that story is that he did not know how to use email, and he sure as hell didn't know how to use spreadsheets. So – it had to be an editor.
Who do you think? The flaming redhead?
It was either the flaming redhead or an editor here had to do that. So when I first started, I mean, this is 1,000 years ago. When I first started working at SI.com, this is before I started Hot Clicks and all that. One of my responsibilities was getting all of the email that he would get. I had to read all his email. And then print out.
Well, in the actual Sports Illustrated, they would have his email address, I remember.
Right. So I'd have to go through it all and then print out 12 to 15 emails that he can address in his mailbag and then fax him the 12 or 15 emails. And then he would write his.
Was he ever in the office? Was he one of those guys who would pop up?
No, he was never. No? I know early on he was, but by the time I had come aboard and started working with him, he was never in the office. I mean, he would come in maybe once a year, like at the start of the football season, something like that. I went to his house once. He was famous for
really
well because we
Jersey, is that where he was?
Yes, he was in Jersey, and he did a weekly NFL picks, and they called it He Says She Says with Brooklyn Decker.
Okay.
So that was one thing. And then what I did.
Wait, do these exist online? Like, these are fantastic.
They,
this would be amazing content right now.
Those there are some of those on YouTube. Those are on YouTube, I believe.
He said, she said, Dr. Z, Brooklyn Decker. And this is like Brooklyn Decker when she was like the swimsuit model of the year and all that?
Yes. Yes.
Amazing.
This is probably, let's see, I started Hot Clicks in 07. So this has got to be like 03, 04, 05 maybe.
Okay.
And then, so he used to chart. He had his own charting system where he would grade every player. And these charts were famous. He charted every game, every player. And I went to his house and we did a video where we like looked at the charts. His basement was filled with these charts. It was amazing.
Tell me about the charts. What were the charts?
They were all like color coded and, you know, who's making good blocks, who's whiffing on blocks. It was, you know, bad throw, good throw, dropped interception, drop pass, tip pass. This isn't
the shame of it. The shame of it is, of course, obviously he got ill, he had a stroke, and then just recently passed. But the shame of it is, I think you are a really entertaining in this sports media role, which I think is a bit of a extension of what you were already doing. But now as like the chief correspondent or whatever you want to call yourself for Sports Illustrated, I think you're excellent at it, Jimmy. And I feel like there was this like unfortunate gap in time or missing of two ships in the night. I feel like his breakdowns of the different play-by-play and color
phenomenal.
Every year, he would give grades. He would watch every game and tell you that Sam Rosen missed a 1st-and-10 call and said it was 2nd-and-3 when it was really 1st-and-10. Like, that wasn't – but I feel like you and I are geeks like that, where I would love to hear him break down what he thought Andrew Catalan did with the Chargers versus the Raiders earlier this season.
It was
phenomenal.
It was he really took it seriously. And the funny thing is I sort of have like this disagreement with him, and I got into it, I think, with someone recently about like I don't get upset if a play-by-play guy gives me a wrong down or a wrong – because I just think those are going to – you do 16 games
a
year.
How about a mispronunciation of a name? I think that's unacceptable.
That's a little worse because you have time to prep for that. That's something you prep for and you should know. But in the heat of a game, if a team's in a hurry up, it's 2 minutes left and you go, oh, it's 2nd down, but it's really 3rd. A lot of times that's just a slip of the tongue too. It might be, those mistakes don't bother me as much as hokey nonsense and stupid stories.
So you don't like the over the top towel whipping locker room stuff. That you don't like, right?
I don't like just
force
stupidity. Or what I don't like is everyone's great, everyone's playing great, this guy's good, telling me Nathan Peterman has talent. That's the stuff. I don't insult me while I'm watching the game. All right, Peter, thank you so much for joining me. Appreciate it. Fun conversation as always. And that wraps up this week's edition of the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. Like I said at the top, we'll have Ian Eagle next week. Go check out Tony Reale in the archives. Good interview with John Cena in the archives as well. Joe Tessitore was on in the past month. So If you haven't listened to any of those, check it out. If you're a new listener, subscribe, rate, review. It all helps. I appreciate it all. And we'll see you next week right here on the SI Media Podcast. Take care.
Do you know about the Locked On Podcast Network? The number one daily sports podcast network. Locked On has a daily podcast on every NBA and NFL team, plus a growing lineup of college and MLB teams. You get a daily bite-sized podcast giving you the latest on your team from the local experts. Lakers fans, search Locked On Lakers. Cowboys fans, search Locked On Cowboys. Just search Locked On, your favorite team, on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.